This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. Yes, Best for Marketing indeed. It's me again, Angeline Tay, and you're listening to Marketing Mojo. And we have Malati Sanaya with us again. She's the Chief Content Officer at The Marketing Magazine. So welcome back.
Hello, thanks for having me. And look at us now, we're talking about 2017. I think it's what, we have 26 more days to go and it's already December.
I know, so today we'll be covering the retail outlook for 2017, marketing trends next year, 2017 as well. And we'll be ending with something really warm, which is we'll be talking about Christmas advertisements. So first up is the retail outlook 2017. What are we looking at?
Yes, well, I wish I had a crystal ball to see what's happening next year. But I've been speaking to a few people in the industry as well as receiving many reports predicting some of the trends for 2017, which we will talk throughout the whole session today. But what I will be talking first off is on the retail industry for 2017. So with the unstable ringgit, I think we were just talking about it before when you're having lunch, and also the rise of cost of goods, it's painting quite a dreary picture outlook for the industry itself.
Yeah. Any indication on the consumer's outlook on this so far?
Yes, I mean, at the end of it, the consumer remains at the heart of this industry. And in Nielsen's last consumer confidence report, retailers have quite a challenge ahead of them. So the Nielsen has in every quarter their global survey for consumer confidence and spending intention reports. And this was released last month. So Malaysia recorded a stable consumer confidence level for the Q3 of 2016. And it was an increase of only 2 index points to 29 percentage points compared to Q2 of last year. So, you know, economy, job security, and of course, increasing food prices remain some of the key concerns of Malaysian in Q3. And saving remains an important priority, but not only for Malaysia, but Southeast Asia. So the consumers in this region were listed as the top 10 most active savers, with Vietnamese being the first, followed by Indonesian, and no surprise, but Malaysians and Singaporean both ranked 6.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, and based on the report, any sectors showing growth?
Yeah, actually, interestingly enough, for the first time in the past few years, according to Nielsen, the FMCG sector saw small levels of growth. So despite the sluggish economy and, you know, the Malaysian consumers' purchasing power continues at a stable climb, and it showed a growth of 2.1% compared to the same quarter last year.
Okay.
So among all FMCG super categories, as they put it, the health and wellness, personal care, snack confectionery, household and groceries all showed a positive increase, except for the beverage category, which saw a small dip in growth. Yeah.
I think it's interesting, like FMCG has always been seen as the ones that increase. If you see them decreasing, that's when we have to really worry about the economy.
Correct.
Okay, now with the odds, you know, to say stacked against, how are marketers launching new products in this unpredictable market?
Yes, I mean, with the outlook, you would think that they're not like putting out new things. But I mean, for marketers, as you know, that we at Marketing run our Product of the Year award every year. And so it's partnered with Nielsen with over 2,000 consumer votes on, you know, what they think is the most innovative products. So in line with that, I was speaking to a few marketers on how they launched new brands, like I mentioned earlier, in this unpredictable time. This is no easy task at all. And also to share a bit of their outlook for 2017. So Rakesh Kumar Singh, who is the marketing manager for Dettol Durex and Veet under Ricky Beckinsale, shared with me how they launched the Dettol Gold, their latest product this year, as the gold standard of germ protection. So, you know, with the understanding that in-store execution was very important to drive awareness as well as conversion. So what they did for this new launch of the product, that apart from print, TVC, as well as digital execution, they had put plenty of investment to improve their presence in stores, as well as bring attention to the new products to drive purchase. So, I mean, they were confident about their new product. And for the first time, they actually started a massive trial program. So they developed a special trial pack of 50 ml, which was sampled across 1 million households, you know.
Wow. Via,
yeah, they did it this time through grassroots consumer outreach program, in-store, e-commerce, magazine samplings, and such like that for people to try out. Yeah, so there's also another product which I found quite interesting. It was by a new product by Wipro Unza. And this year, the brand launched its new Dashing No Gas deodorant spray. And it's actually written on the product itself. So the marketing manager, Venkat, who shared how the product was formulated based on the findings that Malaysian men were disappointed that the current deodorant spray format only lasted 2 to 3 weeks. I didn't know this. And they launched this no gas deodorant, which has 100% deodorant liquid, and you know, it can last up to 2 months. So what I found interesting about the product, it keeps in mind what the consumer really wants these days, as well as bringing back to what we mentioned on the Nielsen, you know, report, that at the end of the day we want to save costs.
Yeah.
And if you see the product itself, on the outward of the, you know, packaging, it's written, you know, it like has 175 sprays per can, and you know, it can last up to two months. Yeah.
Okay, and I like the Dettol Gold story as well, because they're literally getting the product into the hands of the consumers.
Correct.
And it's sort of going back to traditional marketing, right? Product placement, get more visibility on ground.
Yes.
Okay.
Definitely.
Now, you know, knowing all these examples, but how are these marketers looking at the industry for 2017?
No, I was quite surprised with their answer. I thought they would, you know, have a gloomy outlook. I mean, just but you know, they're still positive, still going on strong. So for Rakesh, he mentioned, he quoted the Nielsen's Global Consumer Confidence Survey as well, and he showed that, he said that this was a key indication that consumer confidence in Malaysia was improving, and you know, this points to a better 2017 overall to the industry. They remain confident of the local market for Dettol and the other categories that they operate in as well, and they have put place a very strong plan for 2017 to strengthen its position, as well as come up with new campaigns. As you know, with the new year, it's going to come with new challenges. So they have new products as well in the pipeline for their consumers.
Okay.
Another interesting insight is by Fei Yong. She's the Southeast Asia Marketing Director for Vinda Group, which has Liberies, the personal care brand under them. So she shared how, you know, it's mainly next year will be driven largely by consumers' priority in spending. Some consumer goods in the industry, of course, will have the irreversible brunt of the GST implementation. So 2017, she shared, was a test period for all brands. The further away it is from being a generic commodity, I mean, the less likely it would be to be impacted. And also what she mentioned, and I thought it was quite interesting, is that, you know, what will continue to escalate in the growth would be in the travel and vacation industry, especially among millennial families. That is the key factor, which she said that would grow.
Okay.
So
I guess everybody still travels today.
Yes, correct.
Right. Should look into traveling and vacation industry. Well, up next, we'll be talking about marketing trends for 2017 and also Christmas advertisements that's been listed on Marketing Magazine. So stay with us. This is Marketing Mojo together with Mala Tisanaya. She's the Chief Content Officer at Marketing Magazine, BFM 89.9.
Best flipping moments. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hello again, this is Marketing Mojo with me, Angeline Tay, and we have Mala Tisanaya. She's the Chief Content Officer at the Marketing Magazine. Earlier we covered the retail outlook for 2017. Doesn't seem to be very gloomy, so still be, you know, have to be optimistic for what's ahead.
Yes.
Now, marketing trends for 2017. What do you have in store for us, Malati?
Yes, as I continue to look into my crystal ball. So we will look at, for 2017, this is actually by a latest report by agency J. Walter Thompson. They released this report last Friday. So it's their Future 100 report that predicts the trends in various sectors, including beauty, travel, tech, for the new year. So out of the report, I picked some of my top three trends, one in culture, one in technology, and one in tourism, that marketers should look out for. So we'll start with the first one, which is in culture, and I thought this was quite interesting. It's AI art.
Ooh.
So while the report assures that in no way we'll be seeing AI or artificial intelligence replacing artists, so with more campaigns touching on AI, that's one thing that cannot be overlooked.
Okay, any examples on this so far?
Yes, actually, an example is a campaign, and it's called The Next Rembrandt. It's a project that scanned the artist's existing work using AI and 3D painting to create an entirely new piece by the artist, which you know has the spirit of the artist's work. So the campaign was done for insurance brand ING, and JWT Amsterdam won the accolades for this at the last Cannes Lions Film Festival.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So essentially what they did was they recreated the painting using data. So they scan images of people, and they use key features from them, like their eye color, their facial structure, and to reimagine their faces as a Rembrandt painting.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, they're not the only one. If you're looking at AI, Google is also keeping a close eye on AI. In June 2016 this year, Google announced Magneta, a research program to advance the state of art in machine intelligence for the music and art generation. So it's combining tech as well as data with music and art as well. So what they want to do is to, at the end of the day, build a community of artists around technology. So it's not just the tech companies that are looking at AI. Another great example which they highlight is Tate Britain, which mm-hmm. is an art museum based in London. And this year, for their annual awards competition, IHE Prize, they actually chose AI as their theme. Yeah, so the winning entry, called Recognition by Fabrica, actually matched paintings in the museum's collection with daily news photographs supplied by Reuters. You know, it sort of wanted to show the connections between the past and present through this idea. Hmm. So I think, yeah, it's quite interesting examples. And according to report, the possibilities and parameters of AI and art are just only being define at the initial stage, you know, as Google and others work to expand the community of artists using these tools. We can expect surprises in 2017, and more than anything, you know, we can see AI going from a buzzword, you know, like this campaign has artificial intelligence, to being something that actually generates like positive feedback from people and, you know, joy.
Guess it's a good thing also, by relating, using tech to make us relate to art, because I feel like a lot of us have forgotten, you know how to appreciate art. And so, like, I like the idea of Tate Britain, the winner, which is Fabrica, I think.
Yes, correct.
The one that using
Recognition.
Yeah, so by daily newspapers, and you can connect that to art, and that's very relatable.
Correct. Going back again to our last conference was Malaysian Media Conference, and we were talking all about data. And the big question was about how people are looking at data and not putting creativity into it. And we're seeing so many new ones. I don't know whether you saw this latest campaign by Spotify that actually used data. And what they did is they used it as a whole out-of-home campaign. And they used data from their users, like and they put it out as slogans in their campaigns. Like, oh, to the person who played the song Sorry by Justin Bieber, like about 300 times, what did you do wrong? And then they posted it out all over Times Square. It's very interesting. I thought this was a very interesting way of combining data, creativity, and using out-of-home, such a, I mean, typically looked at as a traditional medium in an interesting way.
Yeah, so it's time to sort of blend all of this together.
Yeah, I'm seeing examples from brands already, so I definitely see this trend,
Okay, and the next is your tech picks.
Correct. So this would be the evolution of augmented reality. So, and I think the last time when I came on, we were talking about Pokemon Go as well. And Pokemon Go in many ways has put AR or augmented reality into all of our pockets, you know, with the app being on. So according to the report, Apple is rumored to be planning a major AR push. The company's new iPhone 7 Plus has two cameras, which, you know, allows the device to intelligently sense the depth as well as improve its AR capacity. So according to those who are using AR in their campaigns, it would be great that tech is there to support it.
Okay, and has AR already been used by brands besides the rumor about Apple?
Yep, so brands have been seen to use AR to enhance online commerce, actually. So Alibaba has created a location-based AR mobile game to promote its last Singles Day shopping event.
Oh, that was a crazy event,
correct,
right?
Correct, and we were just talking about how they had like billions of sales within few minutes. So I mean, that's an interesting way on how they wanted to use the game to push that. Apart from that, in 2016 September this year, for London Fashion Week, an online retail platform List create Humaniquins. Yeah. You know, seeing all this mannequin challenge going on. And okay, so what they did is basically they created a window installation featuring scantily clad models who could be clothed with the help of an AR app.
Oh.
So I think what's interesting about all this is one thing about AR versus VR, augmented reality versus virtual reality, I think AR actually blends with the real world. So that's something good about it. And consumers, with Pokemon Go, have a better sense of what it's like this year. So in the next year, we can see more brands exploring new ways to use AR, whether in retail or beyond that. Mm. Yeah.
Okay, and then third is on halal tourism.
Yes, we're looking at travel, so the pick for this is halal. So the Muslim business travel is expected to be $22 billion by 2020, while Muslim travel overall is worth $220 billion, and this is according to a report by Mastercard and Crescent Rating for this year. So more than half of Muslim business travelers spend in excess of $2,000 per trip, according to the report. So it's a good thing for them, opportunity for them to tap into. So Asian destinations in particular are reaching out to Muslim travelers. And I didn't know this example as well, but Thailand's first halal hotel, the 4-star Al Meros, opened recently to cater to Thailand's growing number of Middle Eastern visitors, including the UAE citizens who came there for medical treatments, for plastic surgery, etc. So, I mean, the fact that they have a halal hotel. Apart from that, last year, they actually launched an app to help Muslim travelers find halal-friendly restaurants.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And knowing all these things that's happening and, it's gaining popularity for 2017, what should brands do to follow this trend?
I think tourism, like I mentioned earlier, is the most recent sector to align itself to, fit the needs of Muslim consumers, following the interests of, Muslim-friendly fashion and cosmetics, because I think we've seen Muslim fashion weeks as well going on here. Mm-hmm. So hospitality brands should really make sure that their offerings suit this group or they risk losing out in the market.
Right.
Yep. So these findings are just the tip of the iceberg. So if you want a full list of trends or the report, you can go on the website, www.marketingmagazine.com.my, and I'll be posting every week 3 picks from each categories. And yeah, you just check it out.
Mm. And moving on, we'll be highlighting some of the Christmas ads for this year, actually. So the first one would be the Amazon.
Yes, correct. So I know it's a little bit early for Christmas, but if you look at the international ads for, international Christmas ads, they've been going out in the past 2 to 3 weeks.
Yeah, it's gone viral as well.
Correct. So the first one is, the Amazon ad, like you mentioned. It's about how they came up with a moving ad about two friends from different faiths, one Muslim as well as one Muslim and another Christian vicar. Both of them are clerics. So it's a beautiful presentation of their friendship in appreciating Christmas. It's a very simple ad. And in the video, we see the two friends have a cup of tea together. And how the brand is brought into is when they buy each a pair of knee guards from Amazon. And because with the whole realization that due to their faith, they both need to kneel down quite a bit. So I think the simplicity of the ad really shows that, we don't have to succumb to complex ads to portray the spirit of the season. So it was also reported, and we were just speaking about this, that in real life, these two actors are actually good friends.
Yes.
So there's also follow-up stories from news outlets, depicting their friendship in real life. So I think all these buzz, media buzz, have gotten the ad to a viral status, and it's racked off millions of views on its official YouTube page.
And yeah, I think we all can check it out online as well.
Yes.
And next up, we have also Marks and Spencer, Mrs. Claus.
The true MVP, most valuable player. So, I mean, this was, like I mentioned, one thing about Christmas is you see all the retail companies go all out because this is the time they're going to buy their presents. So Marks and Spencer took a different twist to their normal traditional Santa Claus going out distributing goodies to kids. This time in the ad, they actually showed how Mrs. Claus actually is was played a key role in delivering a gift to a child. And, you know, you can see later you'll be playing on the ad. Is, you know, it's very interesting. And the ad so far has gotten over 6 million views on YouTube.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. So here's a readapted for radio version of the ad. And it starts with Mrs. Claus serving Santa before he leaves to, you know, give out presents around the world.
Hot tea, cheese and pickle. Keep away from those mince pies.
Any last minute requests?
No, no, just bills. Can I say? Don't forget Australia.
I won't.
Easily done.
Rudolph? Ah!
Dear Mrs. Claus, my name is Jake, and I am 6 years old.
Jake! Stop taking my things!
I have a big sister called Anna, who is tall and sometimes angry.
Ah! Get out! Dad!
Jake!
I also have a dog called Tiger,
who loves eating things.
Kill Tiger!
Jake,
kill.
Stop!
I'm sorry.
This Christmas, I need your help. Something, and I know you can get it for me.
To Anna. Jake wanted you to have this. With love, Mrs. Claus. Jake.
Oh, thank you so much, Jake.
You might think I don't like my sister very much, but I do. I love her a lot. And I want her to be happy at Christmas. Love, Jake. Age 6 but 7 in 2 weeks.
How was your night?
Oh, you know, quiet.
How did that get there?
Well, it wouldn't be fun if you knew all my secrets.
And that was the Marks and Spencer, Mrs. Claus, the Through MVP ad. And lastly, we have Sainsbury as well.
Yes, this is actually a musical ad. So it's very interesting to see. And it's about a modern man who's devoted both to his work and family. And he finds it difficult to spend more time with his loved ones. You should listen to it as well as watch the animation. And if you want to, you can go on the website, www.marketingmagazine.com.my, for a full list of the Christmas ads this
okay.
year.
Well, thank you again for your time, Malati. She's the Chief Content Officer at Marketing Magazine, and this has been Marketing Mojo, and we'll be leaving you with the music behind the Sainsbury's musical Marvel advertisement. So pay close attention to the lyrics, even though you can't watch the animation, but the lyrics is also the essence of this advertisement. So thank you for listening. This has been the Marketing Mojo. I'm Angeline Tay, BFM 89.9.
Another year over, where do they go to? It's a mystery. Now it's December, so much to remember before Christmas Eve. I'm already late and my train is delayed, disruption on the line. I race into work and the place is berserk, yes it's Christmas time. I wanna find the greatest gift I can give my family. But right now, I don't have time to breathe. The streets are chaotic, the shop's idiotic, there's a queue for the queue. A granny's taking her time at the front of the line.
91, 92.
There's a body at work and the manager's twerking inappropriately.
To top off the day, another train is delayed. It's a catastrophe.
Christmas time is here.
I'd like to spend the time, the ones I love so dear. I'm trying to find the greatest gift I can give my family. I don't have time, there's only one of me. Tell me, how do people do it all? I'll never get it done. If only there was a way to be in two places at once. Gives me an idea. If I wasn't alone, what if I had a clone? I could do so much more. It would all be a breeze with a couple more me's. I'd have time galore. I wanna find the greatest gift I can give my family. The greatest gift I can give is me. Now I can meet with the boss and empty out my inbox all simultaneously, leaving me time to spend with my family and friends where I wanna be. I wanna find the greatest gift I can give my family. The greatest gift that I can give is me. I wanna find the greatest gift I can.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.